It's so good to be back. I love that. Billy. Oh, he's being told to keep quiet, and I'm going to ask you to talk in a few minutes, so. Wow, that was a tremendous drama. Thank you. It really spoke to my heart, and I'm sure it spoke to yours as well. But, you know, we've been walking and talking through what we need in 2009, and I hope you've kind of grabbed a hold of something as a resolution for yourself. Because we can make resolutions and then not even grab a hold of anything. And we began looking at the Bible as what we need. 2009, and you all got a little book if you left that morning. And if you didn't get one, if you were here that first Sunday, then you make sure and call the office. We'll make sure you get one of those little books that gets you into the Bible and starts reading if you need that. And then we talked about how coming together, being the church, is critical for us in 2009, and that's important for us to build each other up, and so that we can keep going through the week. Now, the hardest thing is going through the week. It's easy coming together on Sunday, but going together through the week is a little bit more difficult, trying to make it through. Well, this morning we're going to talk about our relationship with God in prayer. And Jesus taught some wonderful things about prayer, but wonderful things about communion. And so we're going to talk about that. There's five best things to say if you get caught sleeping at your desk. A lot of you are laughing because you've been caught. So you can write these down if you want to use them. Go ahead. I'm going to start with number five. They told me at the blood bank this might happen. Number four. Oh, this is just that 15-minute power nap they raved about in the time management course you sent me to. Yeah. Number three is, whoo! Guess I left the top off that whiteout. You probably just got here in time. Number two is, did you ever notice sound coming out of one of these here keyboards? Did you put your ear down close? Number one, my all-time favorite, best thing to say if you get caught sleeping at your desk. Oh, and in Jesus' name, amen. Best thing. Talk about prayer. 2009, we need to build a solid foundation. You sang about it. I invite you to turn to Matthew chapter 7 there. Matthew chapter 7, because you sang this morning, but it's more than just singing about it. It's really doing it. And I want you to look at verse 24, starting there. That's where we're going to the wise and the foolish builders. If you're unstable, if you are living on shaky ground, always seeking something to deaden your pain, to alleviate your hurt, you need Jesus. If you're trying to figure out, I can't handle this anymore. I can't go through that. I don't know what's going to happen next. You need Jesus. If you're confused and you're in bewilderment, and you need Jesus. See, Jesus spoke about how prayer changes. That's what he talked about in this passage. See, to me, this is the top. Prayer changes people. Better yet, when I pray, it changes me. When I pray for other people, it changes me. Now, look at this passage. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus says, and puts them into practice, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Can you say the rock? Let me hear you say it. You didn't even say it. You came close to a whisper. It's what you came close to. The rock. There you got it. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, they beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. pray. You build your house on the sand. Rain came down, streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. We want the rock. If you feel today, right now, that your world is crashing, you need the rock. If you're thinking, oh, I'm starting to slip on this foundation of my life, you need the rock. You see, even if prayer doesn't change things, it transforms the person who prays. How many of you have ever watched Phil Donahue show? Anybody? Do you know what I'm talking about, the Phil Donahue show? Come on, he guy who wore gray kind of suit colored, blue shirt sometimes, big glasses, you know, kind of paraded himself around the audience, asking for response to questions. We're going to do a Phil Donahue segment right now. I'm going to ask you something, and I want an honest answer. If you can't be honest in church, where can you be honest? At what moment in your life did you pray? Think about it. At what point, I'm going to turn this on, because I want to get a response from you. Some of you, I mean, it doesn't matter. You just put your hand up, or stand up if you say, I prayed when, okay? And I just want to know. When was a significant time for you when you said, God, I need you? Or God, I love you? Or God, I got to get through this? Anybody want to share? Who wants to be first? Come on, Phil Donahue show. Coming down. Come on. Haven't got all day. Is this on?
Morning, Bill.
Right on. He's gone.
When you asked the question, the first thing that came to mind was when a family member's life was threatened. I mean, we pray all the time, but when you really call out to God is when family members are threatened.
Right on. Right on. Excuse me, just hold tight.
I pray all the time, and especially with our health circumstances, and especially with our family circumstances at this time. But my prayers are with the dear Lord all the time.
Anyone else? Two more. Two more. Two more. Sorry, I'm reaching over.
I just felt the need to pray Friday morning on the way to work. I'm always asking, Bill, I'm always asking for prayer for my oldest son, and it occurred to me Friday morning that the weather was a little inclement, and Nathan travels the highway to Saskatoon every day and back, and I keep forgetting to pray for him daily that he gets to Saskatoon and back.
Hi, Nathan. Guess the prayer worked, eh? It's great. One more.
Pastor, I always pray to God and ask for safety and guidance and love for our families. But what I've learned that I can do all this praying, but one of the most important prayers for me is to give thanks to God for all the blessings that I've received, because I've received so many from Him that to me, prayer doesn't really work unless I do give thanks for the things that I have received.
Amen. You got it. That's great. That's great. Phil Donahue came through. That's great. That's the strong foundation. What you just heard from all of these people, every one of you could testify at some point when you pray. Good. And I'll tell you, it was probably at your darkest moment. Because we know that the strongest foundation is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus wants to know who you are. He already knows you, but He wants to deepen that relationship with you. I mean, how do you get to know someone? You get to know someone by praying. And that solid foundation gives you what you receive through prayer is that solid foundation. As the Bible is God's word to us, prayer is my word to God. You know, how many heard about the plane going down in the Hudson River? Yeah. You all know because that pilot's a hero. Well, the plane went down in the Hudson River. I just caught a glimpse of an interview yesterday. A young lady in Seattle, she was on that plane, and she said it went down, and she was sitting there in the back of the plane, and she said no one was moving. No one was moving. The water was coming in. It was coming up. And she said it was touching her knees, and it went beyond her knees. No one was moving. And she said, I was in full-blown panic. And she said, and I looked at the person beside me because I thought, I need somebody to panic with. She was praying. So she said, you know, I don't even know. I don't know anything. I'm not a religious prayer. I don't understand that stuff. She said, but I asked that lady, she said, can I hold your hand while you pray? And you know the rest of the story. She got on the plane, obviously, shooken up. My question would have been to her after that is, now are you a religious person? You know, that would have been my question, you know. I find when I pray, when I sit still before the Father, I just sit and I talk with Him, I can't help but praise Him. I can't help but thank Him for the blessing. I can't help but say, God, I got so many incredible things. Why do I feel like the foundation is so shaky? And He always comes back and says, it isn't now because you're talking to the rock. So we can panic. We can pray. I prefer to pray. 2009, we need a solid foundation, but we also need to unify our relationships. Now, in John 17, it's a great passage, and I shared it this past week in our I took a pastoral care class, and I can't even talk. I'm standing up here, and I'm pretending I'm Phil Donahue, and I can't even talk. But John 17 is a great passage, and I shared this with the class because, and the reason I shared it is because I see in John 17 something that often we miss, and that is the need for unity. Did you know that wars have been won because of unity? Did you know when you go into battle, and you go into battle, the commander doesn't say to his troop, he doesn't say this, okay, now, we're going to go into battle. The enemy's over there. Now, some of you, I understand, are probably going to go over and start talking to the enemy about what we're going to do, you know, and how we're going to do this, and how we're going to attack them and everything. So, you know, I'd like it if you wouldn't do that so we can kind of stay together on the same. That doesn't happen. Commander says, you know, we're going to go and we're going to tackle this. We're going to battle this battle. I need you all to work with me on this so we can do it. That's what Jesus gets at in John 17. It was His prayer. He prays for His disciples, you and I. He prays for His believers, all believers, and He says, may they be one as we are one, Father, so that the world may know. One of my favorite passages. You see, the best source of life is Jesus. And in this passage, Jesus prays, and He prays words, He lifts up His eyes to heaven, and He has this amazing conversation with His Father, completely open and honest. It's a prayer for unity, it's a prayer for oneness, because Jesus knew that in unity, when people are united, they can accomplish what He calls them to. He knew that there's strength in numbers. And He knew that the one thing that would unify the Christian is those moments when we pray to Him, our commander. It's interesting, when Jesus prayed this prayer, it wasn't during the best time of His ministry. Didn't pray this when things were going particularly well, when He was all happy and excited. Jesus prayed this just before his journey to the cross, the most excruciating, horrible time in his life. Prayed. Now, some scholars actually think that Jesus didn't even know his purpose until this point. Some scholars think that. They believe that Jesus knew he was coming to earth and knew what he was going to do, but they think that he didn't know that he was going to have to be crucified, take on the sin of the world till this point. Jesus, who knew no sin, who was repulsed by sin, would have to take on all the filth, garbage, and corruption of every person, past, present, and future. Yet he knew that his strength was found solely in prayer to the Father. See, what happens is when we get negative feelings, negative thoughts, criticism inside of us, we foam at the mouth. Blee. And really, the one who we should talk to, the one who can give us strength, the one who can handle it, is the one least likely that we speak to. We talk to everybody else. Hey, did you know? I had a class with this guy by the name, who's wonderful, Patty Duclo, great guy. And it was funny what happened after. Like, some students were walking out. Some students said, what did you think of class today? And Patty said, hey, whoa, stop right there. Everybody froze. It's another teaching moment from Patty. He said, I know what you're going to talk about. Did you like the class? Did you enjoy the class? I don't care if you enjoyed the class or liked the class. I'll tell you that right now. He said, what you need to do is leave this place and thank God and praise him and tell God about the class. Don't talk about me. Talk about God. That's not bad advice. So we all left there and we went to the dining hall. We all bowed our heads and we all gave our criticism out loud to the Lord. I mean, it was great. Oh, yeah, Lord. Patty, you know. Devin, you go first. Yeah, Patty. Just kidding. But there's strength. There is strength in prayer. When we pray, there's strength in that. Do you understand? We're in a battle. We're walking in the battlefield every day of our life. You guys talked about that in the Phil Donahue moment. We're in the battlefield. We need to be unified and pray like we've never prayed before. And I can almost hear God saying, I can almost hear him saying, if you listen very carefully, I can hear him saying, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you to let go. And just let it go. Cry it out. Let it go. If you've got a foundation that you're shifting on right now, go to him and let him have. Say, God, I'm shifting right now. I can't handle this. I'm looking everywhere else for resources. I can't handle this, God, anymore. I'm hurt. I'll tell you right now. Vancouver, I get off the plane. I come out of the airport. I got my winter jacket on. I'm shaking violently from the cold. I mean, you know, and I don't feel great today. But you know what I did? I said, God, you know I don't feel good today, but I know where my strength is. It's in you. Am I doing okay? Do I have some strength in me? Do you see the vigor in my voice? All right. Oswald Chambers said in my utmost for his highest, he said, wherever God has placed you, whatever your circumstances, you should pray continually, offering up prayers to him. Continually offering up prayers to him. Continually offering up prayers to him. You may be entering a garden this morning. I don't know. You may be feeling that sense of loss, maybe frustration with your circumstances. Possibly you're dealing with some bitter feelings toward other people. Maybe relationship issues. Maybe you realize this morning you're holding on to something. You should just finally let go. I can't tell you enough The Lord is waiting. He wants nothing more than to strengthen you. He just wants to walk with you and give you what you need to make it another day. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what pain we often bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. 2009, we need a solid foundation. We need unity in our relationships. And we need refreshment. Do you know what refreshment means? Anybody? Excuse me. I have to have a sip of my refreshment. It means a pick-me-up. I looked it up. It means a stimulant. It means a shot in the arm. It means revive, enliven. You see, we wonder why people turn to alcohol and drugs and all sorts of other things. Really what they're looking for is refreshment in their soul. Prayer will do that. Prayer will refresh you. Now, I don't want you to turn to, but Mark chapter 1, verse 35, and this was great this morning, this drama, because 1:35 talks about barely in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, he left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Some of you, you need solitude even right now. Some of you, you just need a rest. Some of you just, I know you're looking forward to the next holiday. But I tell you, life is so much more than just looking to holidays. You need a sanctuary. You need healing. Jesus went about healing many that day, driven out evil spirits. Satan tempted him all prior to this. And all Jesus needed was to be refreshed. He just needed some time to be alone. He took time to sharpen his life through prayer. He didn't continue to serve God without prayer. He knew he needed time alone with the Father to pray. You know, I used to wrestle with prayer because I didn't know how to pray. I didn't have a clue. I mean, I was a pastor, and communion time came. I'd wrestle with it. I could get up and tell stories. That was no problem. Prayer. Oh, I got to write this thing down, you know, and I'd be looking at it. And then one of the deacons, afterwards, says, I noticed you wrote your prayer down. I said, yeah, I did. Could I have it? You know? I want to pray that tonight, you know? I don't know how to pray. I want to tell you, here's the course, prayer 701, because you don't have to take anything else to get there. Here it is. Dear God, fill in the blank, amen. Now, for those of you who are writing this down, dear God, fill in the blank, amen. That's it. And for those of you who have trouble with amen, I'll give you some Hebrew words. Boogie, boogie, hey. You know. I think that means, all right, God, you got it. You know. Boogie, boogie, hey. Can you say boogie, boogie, hey? Come on. Unison. Come on, unity now. Boogie, boogie, hey. I told my prof I'd get you all to say that this Sunday. He's going to watch this. Tell you, to develop unity in your relationship, to refresh yourself, you've got to pray. You can't have unity if you're not unified with the Father. God wants us to pray. We must pray. And I'll tell you, you don't get that refreshment in your life. You look for it, you long for it everywhere else. But the one place you need it is usually the last place you go. And that's where you get it from. That's why, like when Murray said, I go and I thank God because the blessings are unbelievable. I want to close with these words because there's a definite fear for me to pray. And you know, I still wrestle with it. I still wrestle with a public praying. I really do. And you might think, well, how come? You use words like sanctification and justification. If you listen closely, you won't hear that from me. Because I'm looking up those words. I'm still trying to figure out those words mean. Because, you know, I heard my pastor use those words once, and I think he threw in edification, and then he threw in an inebriation. I'm sure he did. I'm pretty sure. So I've given up on those words. But I want to encourage you with these words in Romans, okay? Because this is going to help you. Verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Now, I have permission to tell this story. So if it sounds familiar, it's not you unless I asked you. But we have a prayer room here, and people come in through the week and they sit in the prayer room and they'll pray. And the time I was walking down the hall, and I heard this. Okay, bear with me; it's gonna be loud, but I heard this. Somebody caught in a monsoon or something. Somebody was praying in the prayer room. That was great. I just heard a yeah over here. And you know, that's all God needs to hear. Dear God, boogie boogie hey. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Did you know that if you listen this morning, your life is so much easier today? Your life is incredibly easier if you listened. Dear God, fill in the blanks. Amen. To him be the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Boogie, boogie, hey. Now there's some people I know who need prayer this morning. And I'm going to ask you all to stand. Because I'm going to ask you to do something incredible this morning. Pastor Jeremy, I want you to go and stand right in the middle here. Because I want you to understand something. His wife is going for surgery this week. Pastor Jeremy is a caregiver. And when you give as a pastor, you give and you give and you give 100%. But his wife is hurting. That means he's hurting. He hasn't told me that. He doesn't even know I'm doing this morning. You're the family of God. It's your time to give and care. All right? If you need prayer today, I'm going to ask you to stand down the middle here. If you need prayer for something, you want the people of God to pray, and you're hurting, and you want to be affirmed, come and stand down the middle, right behind Pastor Jeremy, right here. I had him come up first so you can do this easier. So you just stand right down here. If you're saying, I need prayer this morning, Selma, you start playing. And I want you to stand right behind him, all right? If you need prayer, you stand behind him. If you're saying, I'm hurting, I need prayer, you stand behind him, okay? Make your way. Just stand right behind him. You're saying, I need prayer, I'm hurting, I need prayer, I need strength, I need refreshment, I need a solid foundation, I need to make it through this week. And Terry already caught it, because I'm going to get you all to lay hands on these people. So you come and you stand right down the middle here, right down here. Just make your way. And then the rest of you, you come in and you just put your hands on each other, on each other's shoulder, and you just touch each other, because we're going to pray. We're going to pray for them, and we're going to pray God's blessing on them. Father God, thank you. Thank you, God, that we can come and we can talk to you about our needs and our hurts and our pain. Lord, right now I know Pastor Jeremy is walking through a big week. Lord, I know that his wife is going in for surgery. I can't even imagine what that feels like, being a caregiver, pastoring. God, I pray for him. I pray you give him the strength of this week. I pray for Catherine. I pray, God, that you'll just work through that situation. And God, we don't know what you're going to do, but we pray, Lord, for your will and your purpose. Lord, there are others who are standing there who are hurting right now, who are feeling like they're on a shaky foundation. God, we pray that you, the rock, would just infuse them with strength. Give to them what they require, God, each and every moment, each and every minute, each and every second, so that they can get through it one more time. And God, to all this, we say, boogie, boogie, hey, amen. God bless you.